Thursday, Sonny.
Happy Thursday to you, Kim.
Well, Sonny, I understand a French football coach tops your sports report today.
Kim, a veteran French coach who's guided the national football teams of Cameroon, Ghana, Senegal, Congo-Brazzaville, and the Democratic Republic of Congo, says he's embarking on another adventure. Our Daybreak Africa sportsman Marco Uma picks up the story, and he also has other football news for us.
French tactician Claude Leroy has quit as coach of the Republic of Congo, he told the media in Brazzaville. This comes a day after he guided the Congolese to a 2-1 victory over Ethiopia in Brazzaville in the second round of the Africa 2018 FIFA World Cup qualifiers. The Congolese forge ahead with a 6-4 advantage. Meanwhile, appeals against suspension of FIFA President Sepp Blatter and FIFA Vice President Michel Platini have been rejected. The FIFA Appeals Committee Chairman Larry Mussenden revealed in Zurich, Switzerland on Wednesday. Blatter and Platini were suspended from all football activities for 90 days from the 7th of October by the FIFA Independent Ethics Committee. The Ethics Committee is currently investigating a host of alleged inappropriate actions by senior FIFA officials. Blatter and Platini are at liberty to appeal their case before the Court of Arbitration in Sports. Staying in Zurich, FIFA Reforms Committee, headed by Swiss lawyer Francois Carrard, started a 2-day meeting to finalize the reform proposals today, Thursday. Once they complete their work, the proposals will be presented at the FIFA Executive Committee meeting on the 3rd of December. The FIFA Executive may amend certain provisions of the reform package before it is presented at the FIFA Special Congress, where the world's 209 national federations will be in attendance on the 26th of February next year. These reforms are key to the process of restoring FIFA's tainted image. Meanwhile, Chile's Football Association head, Sergio Jadu, has gone into witness protection to assist the American Federal Bureau of Investigation probing alleged corruption scandals in FIFA, media reports in the Chilean capital, Santiago, revealed on Wednesday. Jadu, who is also vice president of the South American Soccer Confederation, CONMEBOL, left Santiago with his family heading to New York via Miami. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Thank you, Mark. Our African football guru, David Legg, is looking in alphabetical order at the 20 teams through to the final round of African qualifying for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. David says Gabon advanced by edging Mozambique in the tightest African qualifying series.
It was the only tie that went to extra time and then penalties. And the extra time was an absolute shock to me because CAF traditionally, after two matches of 90 minutes each, you go straight to penalties. But for some reason, an extra 30 minutes was played. And I think that's very unfair, Sonny. And my reason is simple. Mozambique had 90 minutes of home advantage, but Gabon had 120 minutes of home advantage. And I think that gives Gabon, in this case, an unfair advantage. And that's why I was really surprised. And so were the match commentators. They kept talking about the penalty shootout. And when extra time started, I think they were completely baffled. Anyway, they were lucky in the sense, Sonny, no goals in extra time. The only goal, in fact, came from Aguna after just 4 minutes of the second leg. So both sides winning 1-0 at home. And then it goes to the shootout. It's 3-3 with the last kick to come. And a man whose name, I think, appears on every show of Sonny Young, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, stepped up, blasted the penalty into the net, Sonny, 4-3 on the night on the penalties, and Gabon drew. But not a particularly impressive victory, and I think at this stage I'm not going to list Gabon as one of those likely five finalists from Africa for 2018.
David, getting back to that Bundesliga goal poacher, Aubameyang, he wasn't much of a factor in the first leg, was he?
He didn't, in fact, play, Sonny, and there was some mystery. We were officially told he had a muscular injury, but he certainly was back, and he looked rather fit for the second match. I think the Gabonese realized they had a fight on their hands. He's very much the star of this Gabonese Panthers side. There's nothing much else to recommend about them, and I know I'm sticking my neck out, Sonny, at this early stage because the third round only begins a year from now, but don't put Gabon down as one of your five finalists from Africa. I'm convinced they're not going to make it. They just didn't strike me as a side that's going to strike fear into many opponents, even with the presence of Aubameyang, who, Sammy, has scored 22 goals in 20 appearances this season in all competitions for Borussia Dortmund. Fantastic achievement. But, you know, one man can't get a team to the finals, in my opinion. So, Gabon, they need to get their act together, Sammy.
Next up, David, Ghana. The Black Stars of Ghana beat the Comoros Islands 2-0 in Kumasi, and they advance on a 2-0 aggregate. Your thoughts on the Black Stars, David?
Well, the first match, Sammy, which was a goalless draw, was a great game. Fantastic atmosphere in the Comoros, a small stadium. I've seen the capacity listed as 2,000, 3,000, and 10,000. Now, clearly, there's a big problem there between the 3,000 and the 10. It certainly, Sammy, doesn't hold more than 10,000, and there wasn't a spare millimeter of space. The Comorans really turned up in force. Great game. Comoros had a goal disallowed. They hit the woodwork. Ghana hit the woodwork twice. But the return game, my feeling was, now Ghana, a bigger pitch, home advantage, they're going to teach these islanders a good lesson and maybe score three or four goals at least. But it didn't turn out that way, Sonny. Wakaso scored from a free kick after 18 minutes. But there was always that fear in the Ghanaians' heads that with the away goal rule, that if Comoros equalized, Comoros would go through. So they needed the insurance of a second goal. And that came with just 5 minutes left. It came from an IU, but not the normal source, Andre. It came from Jordan IU, the Aston Villa striker. So the Comoros can feel very proud, Sonny. They kept Ghana on tenterhooks for 175 minutes. That's how long it took Ghana to get that second goal. So not a particularly impressive performance by Ghana, who are seeking a fourth consecutive appearance at the finals. They were there in 2-6, 2-10, and 2-14, and they'll certainly be among the favourites for 2-18. But judged by the Comoros matches, they're going to have to up their game somewhat.
The Guineans beat Namibia 2-0, David, and advance on a 3-0 aggregate. Your thoughts on Guinea?
Guinea, Sonny, one of the unfortunate teams. The other are Libya, who could not play their home match at home. Unfortunately, the Ebola epidemic is still a threat to Guinea. So they had to play in Casablanca in Morocco. And a pretty predictable victory. I mean, they had already won 1-0 away to Namibia, so it was almost a fait accompli. And Silla, just before halftime, and Keita, 11 minutes from the end, scored the goals in the second leg. Guinea, at least, they're back on the victory trail. They made a very poor start to the Africa Cup of Nations, losing in Casablanca to Swaziland and then drawing in Zimbabwe. So while Namibia may not be powerhouses of African football, I think the fact that Guinea won home and away will be a tremendous morale boost for the Sili Nationale, as they're known.
Ivory Coast, the top-ranked team in Africa, advances with a 3-0 victory over Liberia in Yaounde. The Elephants win 4-0 on aggregate. Your thoughts on the Elephants, David?
Yes, Sonny, this was another case of a team that had basically won the tie in the first leg. The Ivorians went to Monrovia. They beat Liberia 1-0. Now, for Liberia to have a realistic chance, it is they who had to build a first leg lead. Instead, the Ivorians did the trick. And then in the return match, Theo with a couple of goals in the first half and Seri with a goal midway through the second half, a very comfortable 3-0 victory, 4-0 on aggregate. And the Ivorians will be pretty pleased, Sonny, because they were missing, for example, their injured strikers, Wilfred Bonny and Solomon Kalou, and their talismanic midfielder, Yaya Toure, has still not returned to national duty after helping them win the Cup of Nations last February. But, Sonny, the good news for Ivorian supporters and probably the bad news for every other football nation in Africa is Yaya insists that he's not retiring and that he'll be back in action for the Elephants next year. So beware the Ivory Coast team with Yaya back in midfield directing operations.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. And David will pick up his World Cup qualifying analysis on Friday's Sunny Side of Sports with Libya.
Hi, I'm Shegu Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin. We got the game.
Game on, VOA sports fans. In National Basketball Association news, the Houston Rockets have fired head coach Kevin McHale only 11 games into the new season. McHale, who had a Hall of Fame playing career with the Boston Celtics, got the boot Wednesday. And then a few hours later, the Rockets, under interim coach J.B. Bickerstaff, held off the visiting Portland Trailblazers 108-103 in overtime. Elsewhere, the Philadelphia 76ers and defending champion Golden State Warriors continue to be two NBA clubs heading in opposite directions. Philadelphia was humbled by the Indiana Pacers Wednesday night, 112-85. Winless Philadelphia has lost its first 12 games to start the season. Meanwhile, the unbeaten and red-hot Warriors go after their 13th consecutive victory later Thursday night when they visit Los Angeles and play another California club, the Los Angeles Clippers. Golden State has been led by sharpshooting guard Stephen Curry, the league's reigning most valuable player, who is averaging almost 34 points per game. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the sunny side.